Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Well, friends, Army is 9-0, one of the last three undefeated teams in the nation, and is set for arguably the team's biggest matchup in decades this weekend against Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium. It's a throwback, and for once, this Army team might just be as good as some of those great Army teams of old. Welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. It's your host, Jordan, in Huntsville, Alabama, joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut. Special guest Terry Brennan with us today. Gentlemen, Army's 9-0, big game coming up. How are we feeling?
I'm very good. And I got to say, Jordan, I am much better now that I can see that you have some art behind you in that house of yours. I'm so happy.
Yeah, I said you were the third or fourth person who shamed me in like a 48-hour period.
Good, good. So, that is my role here as your editor slash managing partner at Ask for Football, is to make sure that you are representing.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Dan.
Jordan, I've commented a few times as well on the chats and whatnot and said, hey, Jordan, put some Army swag up there. Put your diploma, and better.
My diploma is actually hanging in the laundry room, believe it or not. So I don't know why we put it there, but that's the only place my wife said we could put our diplomas. So,
oh, my goodness.
I'll see if we can revisit the diploma placement behind me instead of these nice whatever the hell they are that my wife and mother-in-law picked out. So that's, you know what? Speaking of picking things out in your home, one of the biggest decisions that you can make in the home buying process is who your realtor is. And if you're about to PCS into the Fort Liberty area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn Bradley is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. There she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes where they are in the market, and she provides excellent service when she's working for you. She's decided to support Ask for Football this season, and she's the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. She has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. Even if you're not moving specifically to Liberty, you still need a realtor you can trust. Jocelyn makes recommendations, won't cost you anything. Reach out and let her put you in touch with someone with actual integrity in whatever market you're heading into. So to kind of recap where we're at, coming off a bye week, had North Texas 2 weeks ago. We talked about the North Texas game on last week's combined Army / Roundtable show. Army beat North Texas 14-3. They're 9-0, 19th in the CFP rankings, 18th in the AP, 17th in the coaches. We did not review fact or fiction from the UNT game, so let's do that now. Fact or fiction, Army defense will get 2 turnovers. That was a fact. That was fact agreement. 2 interceptions in the end zone. That was from Rob. Dan said Jake Rendina actually plays some snaps this week. That was fact. Another fact agreement. Joe said Army defense holds North Texas under 30 points. That was fact. Dan and I were the haters. We both said fiction, but that was fact. Thank God it was fact. And I said Army finally falls behind on the scoreboard for the first time. That was fact. I was the only one that was negative enough to say fact. UNT got the ball first, scored a field goal. I mean, they had the lead for all of, what, 2.5, 3 minutes? But yeah, unfortunately, that statistic came to an end. Dan, are you going to read some of these stats from the Army team head into this week's matchup?
Before we go on, let me just acknowledge that I think this is the first time we've ever got all of the fact or fictions correct in the history of this show. Mm. We started this in 2018, and wow. Yeah, and then there you have it. So
it's kind of sad.
Yes, congrats.
So I'm going to read these, and there's a lot of them, so just buckle in for a second. And yep, I want you to sort of take mental notes, because we're going to come back to this when we go through the Notre Dame stuff, because a lot of these where we talk about Army, we could also talk about Notre Dame. But Army team stats heading into this week's marquee matchup. They have the number one rushing offense, 335 yards per game on 6.2 yards per carry, which is nuts. The number one red zone defense, having allowed 8 touchdowns and 10 total scores on 20 trips, which is insane. Number one in interceptions thrown. They've thrown exactly one interception this season. Number one in passing yards per completion at almost 19. Number one in sacks allowed at just 3, which is also nuts. Number two in scoring defense, allowing just 10.3 points per game, which is definitely not something we've ever seen before. Number two in tackles for loss allowed at 2.4 per game. That's kind of normal for a triple option offense. Number two in third down defense. Couldn't find a way to measure that one, but it's still true. Number two in fourth down offense, converting 84.2% of the time, and that's with several uncontested kneel downs. Number three in rushing defense, allowing 83 yards rushing per game on 3.2 yards per carry. Number three in first down defense. Number six in turnover margin at plus 11. Number six in fewest penalties per game. Number seven in fumbles lost, 2 in 9 games, which is an insane, insane stat. Tied for number nine in interceptions with 14 total. That's also nuts. Number 14 in red zone offense, 30 touchdowns and 5 field goals on 38 trips. Pretty good. And finally, number 22 scoring offense, 35.2 points per game. So, you know, if you're asking me what I think of all of this, I mean, on paper, you would think that this is the kind of team that should be able to go toe-to-toe with Notre Dame.
Dan, we have a question in the chat for you before we kind of dive in and unpack this a little bit more. You know, just out of curiosity, are the Army-Navy games that different than when you were a cadet and they didn't play with face masks and had leather helmets?
Well, there were certainly fewer face mask penalties back then. Of course, it's always been unusual to swim with a face mask on, so I don't know what to tell you about that.
So, you know, all those statistics, number one, like, this is a good team on paper.
It's a good team,
I know the
yeah.
argument, and Dan, I know you're going to go off in a little bit. I saw your 3.5 pages of your rant. There's a lot of people in the college football world who are like, well, Army might be number one in all these things, but like, they're really not that good. And that's what they said before North Texas. And then we went out and beat North Texas. And then, North Texas doesn't, blah, blah, blah. On paper, this is a good football team. That being said, our strength of schedule is not the best in the world. So is there a weighting that we're doing with these numbers, or are we just taking it at face value that we're number one in the country in rushing offense, and that's that? What are your thoughts on that?
I think that this is a good team, and I think, sure, you can only play the teams that you've played, but, you know, you look at, like, Liberty last year and the teams that they played, and they weren't necessarily blowing everybody out. And this year, they certainly haven't been blowing everybody out. I mean, if we just look at how this team is playing compared to how other Army teams have played in the past, they have been good on offense. They've been good on defense, but it's rare that they've been this good on both at the same time. And some of these are just absurd. I mean, tied for 9th in total interceptions. Like, that's not something you see from Army very often, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, this is what a good Jeff Munkin team tends to look like, but at the super upper end of that spectrum.
Okay. Terry, do you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. And I add to that, you know, Dan and I are classmates, and so I'm actually older than him. So I'll take the old man jokes too. But, you know, I've watched Army football a long time. The key this year, and Coach Munkin always says it, we can win when we don't turn the ball over. And don't have bad penalties, and execute our offense and execute our defense. And that's the key this year, even on having the 6-6 record last year, was a lot of those games were one score games and we missed the field goal, or we got a penalty, or we turned the ball over a couple times. And that's the key difference this year. And the hallmark always of a good team is you don't give the game away like that. And that's been true. But on the flip side, you know, like, you play the games in our conference, we're not just beating them. I mean, we've been killing most teams. And the key stat, I was at the North Texas game. I mean, the Keys struggled a little bit. We had 21 play drive and held one of the top scoring offenses in the country to 3 points. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, with a quarterback coming off of an injury who had not practiced in 3 weeks. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it, you know, Terry, when you put it like that, all we have to do is get 3 yards of play, not make any mistakes, and we'll win the game. It sounds really easy, but as I think we all know it's not that easy to actually do that.
No. Yeah. But, you know, good. I know if we're jumping ahead of lid a little bit, but, you know, one Army drive per quarter. Some people have said that, maybe even Coach Monken, one Army drive per quarter can beat Notre Dame. You know, 1 9- or 10-minute drive per quarter with a touchdown. And they score quickly, and that could be the difference in a big, always playing a power game.
Yeah, fair enough. Dan, we saw Army jump quite a bit in the rankings this week, at least in the CFP. I know you follow a lot of the S&P stuff like that. Are we seeing respect, whatever we want to call it, kind of come in towards Army? Is that at all factoring into your confidence for this week?
No, man. I the takes that I've seen give Army no chance in this game. I mean, none. Yep. You know, Army is at +9 on SP Plus right now, which is absolutely way ahead, way, way ahead of where they should be. And a lot of the takes that I've seen have said, you know, like, oh, Notre Dame handled Navy, so they should handle Army too. And that's got to be the laziest possible take. I mean, listen, I expect Army-Navy game to be a close, but just on the numbers, Army should be a 10-point favorite against Navy. I'm not saying that it's going to be a blowout or whatever, but that's just on the numbers. This is where we are with this season. And those same numbers make Army about a 14-point underdog to Notre Dame, which is where the betting line is. So that part of it is okay. But a lot of times in these Power 5 games, the Black Knights go in as like a 25 or a 30-point underdog. And this year they have, you know, on the numbers, just based solely on the numbers, a puncher's chance of winning the game. And usually, you know, I'll tell you what, when they went to Norman, Oklahoma and took the Sooners to overtime, they were what, 30 point underdogs, 27 points, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
against Michigan, we were 24, 25 point underdogs. Yeah. Took them a double overtime.
So you just have to take the good with the bad. And this is, As far as these things go, this is as good as it gets.
Yeah. Speaking of as good as it gets, Craig Oxane is just about as good as it gets. Dan, I want you to tell us about Craig.
Craig is a West Point member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Craig offers super competitive rates, and he's just a guy that you can talk to on the phone and talk and deal with. And that's important because the mortgage process is super confusing. You know, interest rates are jumping around all over the place, and it's a very difficult time now in our nation to figure out, how do I need to buy and finance a house? Like it's just complicated, right? And you made me move in and trying to figure that out. And this is why, you know, this is how the network with the West Point network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football. And we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can, you know, and call somebody that if you call them, they'll answer the phone, you know, not a big box bank or a mindless website. Plus Craig doesn't charge lending fees for veterans. That is a huge savings of like $1,300, like $1,300. You know, you save yourself $1,300. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending at New American Funding. Check him out. Links on our website. Just go to askforfootball.com. You'll find a little business card there. You click on it, fill out a little questionnaire. You'll be talking to Craig in a couple of hours. And I'm telling you, that's as easy as it gets in a very difficult mortgage process.
Good deal. Thanks, Dano. All right, let's talk Notre Dame. Notre Dame is 9-1. That one is a loss against Northern Illinois, not USC, not Penn State, Northern Illinois. So AP poll, coaches poll, and CFP have them ranked at 6th overall. Irish traditionally do get ranked very well. Open with a 23-13 win over Texas A&M. Like I said, then they immediately turned around and lost to a very mediocre Northern Illinois 16-14. Beat Purdue 66-7. Beat Miami of Ohio 28-3. Beat number 15 Louisville 31-24. Beat Stanford 49-7. Georgia Tech 31-13. Beat number 24 Navy 51-14. Beat a god awful Florida State team 52-3. And then just beat Virginia 35-14. Irish right now are favored to have a home college football playoff game against a multi-loss team out of the SEC. I think what's interesting is we look at the schedule. There's not a ton of consistency.
No.
Obviously, they beat the crap out of FSU, beat the crap out of Navy, and then struggled against Louisville, which I think Louisville's a better team than either of those. Beat the crap out of Purdue, beat the crap out of Miami of Ohio. None of the teams they're beating the crap out of are very good. You know, Virginia held it kind of close. They, you know, Texas A&M played them close. Just kind of looking at that track record so far, I think they're a good football team, but I don't know. There's something there that's not totally clicking for me. Dano, any thoughts?
I mean, we'll talk about this in a minute, but they changed their offense quite a lot after that loss to Northern Illinois. Started running that quarterback more, and that made a huge difference. But against teams that are, you know, decent against the run, they have done less good. And, you know, with Navy, like, they only forced two punts against the Mids. You know, the Mids just fumbled that game away. And if you look at the way that they played Virginia, like, that was a tight game through the first half, but the Cavs just kept turning the ball over. So, I mean, you got to give yourself a chance first and foremost, and not 100% of these teams have done that. I will agree. Louisville's a pretty good team. You know, Texas A&M, also a pretty good team. I don't know what I would take from the first game of the season, but still, it is what it is.
Navy had five fumbles and one interception in their game against
Texas. Yeah, and they got beat. Yeah. Then they got beat. Yeah. Shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Dan, why don't you walk us through the offense?
Yeah, so Notre Dame uses a run-heavy read option rushing attack. I mean, their offense, as we just said, looked a little anemic through their first two games. And then after that, they started to run quarterback Riley Leonard much, much more. And he's looked way better since they've made him sort of the focal point of their offense by running the football. And so this is now the number 11 rushing offense in the country. Mm. This is where we start to get into some of these stats, right? They're rushing for 6 yards per carry, 216.7 yards per game. They're the number 11 scoring offense at 38 points per game, tied for sixth in interceptions thrown four all year. Guys, this is almost a service academy offense. I mean, these guys run a ton of read option quarterback power to set up downfield throws. What they're trying to do is extremely similar to what Army's trying to do with Bryson Daly, only they're doing it with a more athletic quarterback and, you know, better downfield receivers. But if you ever wanted to see what Army would have looked like playing Paul Johnson's Georgia Tech, this is going to be that game. Leonard is an ideal, like, option deep passing quarterback. Like, he really is. On the season, he's 167 of 258 passing for about 1,800 yards, 65% completion percentage, 12 touchdowns against four interceptions and 10 sacks. I'm telling you right now, he throws the ball downfield much better than he throws the quick outs. He's also got 104 carries for 641 yards, 6.2 yards per carry, four rushing touchdowns. He's the team's number two rusher, just 80 yards behind running back Jeremiah Love. His running is the story here. Love has 114 carries, 720 yards, 6.3 yards per carry, and 12 touchdowns. Like, don't get me wrong, he's carrying slightly more often than Riley Leonard, and he's slightly more athletic, but this is a very balanced, almost service academy like attack in terms of almost midline option level of how often this guy Riley Leonard is carrying the football. They've got two wide receivers, Bo Collins and Jaden Greathouse, lead the team with 54 receptions, 717 yards, and three touchdowns collectively. And then tight end Mitchell Evans is the team's possession receiver, 22 catches, 188 yards, two touchdowns. He's got almost as many catches as either of the top two wide receivers. So it's not like nobody can catch the ball, and it's definitely not like Riley Leonard can't throw it. But my man, the dude, he is like a very rich man's Daniel Jones. Like, his best thing is running the football to set up the throw.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Like
Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, it was like, you know, I've watched a lot of Notre Dame football and partly brought me on this show because, like many Irish Americans, I cheer for Notre Dame. They've completely retooled this offense to match Leonard's skill set. If you think of Brady Quinn and most of your Notre Dame teams want to be more like a Michigan or they've had some high flying throw the deep ball offenses through the years with QB who just had to. So this very, very retooled offense just for Leonard's skill set.
Good deal. It'll be interesting to see how that plays against Army. You know, I know sometimes it's easier to play yourself. Sometimes it's more difficult. You know, you could probably argue, oh, your Navy and Army similar. So I understand the parallels there, but it's six turnovers. I got to believe that, you know, that game would be very different and kind of setting the stage for our game. You know, if Navy didn't have six turnovers, you know, that's if Notre Dame scored on every time they turned the ball over, that's 42 points. Navy probably would have won that football game, or at least kept it a little bit closer. So, statistically speaking, Notre Dame has a fantastic defense. NIU ran for 190 yards on 4.2 yards per carry against them. Navy ran for 220 on 5.2 yards per carry. So, other than those kind of two very noteworthy performances, you know, number two in turnover margin, number three scoring defense, number four red zone defense, number five first down defense. Jeez, Dan, you went really heavy with the facts and the statistics.
It was just ridiculous because both teams were ranked in like 15 different categories. So I was just trying to lay out that comparison, but it probably would have worked a little better in print.
Anyway. Number six, third down defense, number seven in interceptions, number 18 in fourth down defense, tied for number 19 in team sacks, number 42 rushing defense. We're going to need to put this like in print for people to read because, oh my gosh. Anyway, as we see with Army, Notre Dame tends to get up early and then get aggressive to keep separation on the scoreboard, which really helps their defense. Four of the five top tacklers are linebackers. The other is a safety. Jacob Kaiser, 52 tackles, 32 solo. Derek Bowen, 48 tackles, 24 solo. Xavier Watts at safety, 38 tackles, 23 solo. Jaden Sneed, 35 tackles, 13 solo. Overall, the defense has 28 sacks, 12 forced fumbles, 10 fumble recoveries, 15 interceptions. That is a really good defense. I know we just complimented the offense. Terry, thoughts on the defense, kind of having watched them this season?
Yeah, so Notre Dame's defense, I think they're definitely susceptible for what Army does well. They haven't seen anything like this. Just that disciplined run game, make them tired, keep them on the field, and we'll hit the passes when we need to. But yeah, Notre Dame hasn't, like most teams, hasn't had to deal with an Army like this, and that'll be our key strength.
Dan, I see you have a little bit of a smile on your face.
Yeah, I mean, listen, these guys forced Navy to punt twice. You know, I mean, in a game that the mids otherwise sucked, they still somehow managed to run for 222 yards.
You can't punt when you turn it over six times, though.
Listen, Blake Horvath got hurt in that game and he hasn't looked the same since, and Navy hasn't looked the same since. So that's unfortunate. If Army can run the ball, I think that they'll be in decent shape. And I think if Notre Dame can absolutely stonewall this offense, that we're screwed. It's not complicated.
I think that's a key thing as well. They like to run a lot. So I think they can use a grind the clock off ball control offense as well, which is not your normal Notre Dame offense. They do like to run normally, but yeah, they can just let Leonard run it as well.
Yeah, it's you got to think, you know, Daly being out, comes back, plays well, didn't look like he was totally at full speed, probably about 90%, but still getting that game rep is good. And then 2 weeks, that's got to be what you want. That's kind of best case scenario. I think this is probably going to be a lower scoring game. I know there's been a lot of parallels to the games in the 30s and the 40s and, you know, game in the section, all that other kind of stuff. But, you know, Terry, to your point, Notre Dame can march down the field, take 9 minutes off the clock. Army can turn around, take 12 minutes off the clock. And then it might be 7-7 at halftime, depending on how things go. So it could be a very quick in the sense of there's not going to be a lot of drop passes, but also long in the sense of, you know, 9-10 minute drives. So it could be one of those weird games where it's like, holy crap, it's already halftime. The game's only been on for, you know, 56 minutes or whatever it is.
Here's hoping. But the longer the game stays close, the better it is for Army. These guys do the same thing Army does. They try to get up quick and then just play their game, and If that doesn't happen, I don't know how many game, how many like real dogfights Notre Dame's been in this season.
With the exception of NIU and the first quarter of the Virginia game, I don't know. Let's round it out. Special teams, Mitch Jeter, 31-31 extra points. A guy like that playing in Yankee Stadium. Come on, with a name like that. Yeah. 6-9 on field goals, 3 misses from 40, 1 miss from 50 plus. James Rendell, 5 punts, averaging 48 yards versus Virginia. And then he punt 4 inside the 20, so pretty decent punter. Weather, partly cloudy skies, temps in the mid-40s, winds up to 13 mile an hour. Opened at Army plus 12.5, rose as high as Army 15.5. Now it's Army 14.5. On one betting site, the Sharps took Notre Dame, saying Army is, quote, horrific versus inside zone runs. That's a interesting take on a team allowing less than 100 yards per rushing overall and less than 100 yards rushing per game and less than 3.3 yards per carry overall. Over-under sits at 44.5. I would probably bet the under if I was a betting man, but I'm not. Damn, you legitimately have 2 pages on this outline. So
it's not that much.
I'll turn it over to you.
The college football world writ large is rooting against Army this week for all of the reasons that you already know. No one wants to play this offense. Army is not playing basketball on grass. There is not one thing that's sexy about this team. Dudes might want to thank these kids for their service, but no one wants to take them seriously as athletes. And I get the feeling that for some of these commentators, it's just uncomfortable. Like, they can't preview how any of these guys will project into the NFL. And so it's harder for the announced team. And that results in some of the weirdest, most just otherworldly crap from the broadcast team. And there's just nothing about this Army team that fits in anywhere in modern society. Army's a pain in the ass, except in the sense that it makes all these fools feel good about their patriotism on Army-Navy Day. And honestly, why is it that Army – and honestly, this is why Army grads and Academy grads generally have to stick together. This is a hostile freaking world out there, and people get freaked out when they learn that you, like, turned down Harvard to go to West Point. That's so anti-American in the sense of what Americans will choose to do with their lives, that people will stand there and stare at you like a landed trout for 20 seconds when they hear your personal story about why you chose West Point. And then it's like, I can't believe you, followed by a geyser of bullshit about thank you for your service. So what I personally really want out of this game is shock, awe, and disappointment for all of the dime store patriots out there who would have served, except they would have punched a drill instructor. Because I feel like 100% of those people root for Notre Dame, especially this week, even though they never set foot on that campus. And I just can't tell you how much I personally hate every single one of those people. Like, those are my least favorite people on earth. In that sense, I got to give Notre Dame coach Marcus Freeman a lot of credit, because he went to trouble of saying that this is not Navy 2.0. He and his team treat these cadet athletes like athletes. Even so, I can't help helping this. His team subconsciously overlooks this game. And I also hope that it's cold as hell out there and that no one can throw or catch worth a damn. And, you know, I, even with all that said, I still give Notre Dame credit for treating this like it's a serious football game. I mean, obviously, Army wins this game the same way they won at North Texas. On offense, we know what that looks like. And on defense, if they can bottle up Riley Leonard and while maintaining rush lane integrity, make him move the ball through the air, like, they got every chance to get this kid on the wrong foot. And then who knows what will happen.
Yeah,
that'll definitely create chaos. And that's what Army needs. So, yes, that's my rant, Jordan.
Terry, as our quasi-Notre Dame fan, what are your thoughts?
So most Irish Americans, Dan and Matt and I have chatted about this a lot. You know, most Irish Americans are Notre Dame fans because when Notre Dame started, it was the only Catholic college that was also Irish Americans. There was a lot of discrimination against Irish Catholics back then. So they put the school, that's why the school's in Indiana. They could go be left alone there. And then New Rockne, they started playing football. 1913 was actually first Army Notre Dame game. But that's the reason why most Irish Americans cheer for Notre Dame. And that's my second team after Army. It will be a good game. There's lots of fans. There's lots of, just like in Rudy, which like Dan says, he got paid to be a punching bag. But families like Rudy's cheer for Notre Dame just because it's a big-time Catholic school. Same why many like President Kennedy. He was the first Irish Catholic president. But, you know, it's a big deal. New York City is a big area for Notre Dame fans. It'll be they intentionally limited cadet tickets to around 600. Just because that's a big moneymaker for the Irish. But it'll be a big game. And like you said, I agree with Dan on lots of people want Army to lose. I texted him today about how it was Colin Cowherd talking about how, you know, every SEC team should be a Army fan this week. Just on that note, if we knock Notre Dame out of the race, then that's another three-loss SEC team in the playoffs. So there's a lot of emotions one way or another this week, and it'll be interesting to see how it comes down on what would be America's team versus the team of the Irish Catholics or the Catholics which are at large. And Notre Dame does have a bigger following nowadays, but they're just my other team is the Dallas Cowboys. It's a rough time. It's a rough life sometimes, but and the Texas Longhorns. So I've gone 0-4 some weekends, but you either hate them or love them. That's kind of it with Notre Dame and the Cowboys. There's no non-passionate fans when you talk about Notre Dame or the service academies. They have strong opinions one way or another.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen it all on Twitter and Instagram. And, you know, I think there's a lot of posturing right now. And it's interesting because when we moved from the 4-team to the 12-team playoff, everybody said, oh, it's going to be so great. Like, it's going to be the 12 best teams, blah, blah, blah. There was a lot of jockeying with the four. Like, you know, we usually knew who number one and number two were. And it was like that number three, number four. There was a lot of jockeying. I feel like opening it up as much as they have has greatly increased the jockeying and the positioning, because under the old system, it was virtually impossible for a group of five team to get in. It just wasn't going to happen. No. You know, we would see two SEC teams get in over a undefeated ACC conference championship Florida State. This year, there's the possibility that we could have Army and Boise State, or Army and Tulane, or Tulane, whatever the combination might work out to be, in a 12-team playoff, which is new. And I think for a lot of people, that's weird. It's scary. It's a little bit uncomfortable. We also see a lot of uncertainty in the SEC with multiple two-loss teams. You two-loss Georgia, two-loss Alabama. You know, Texas A&M could very well beat UT, and UT is a two-loss team. So it's weird. And the Big Ten, same thing. You know, the best team in the Big Ten is Oregon, and then you have Ohio State after that. You know, you got Indiana. Indiana, who's undefeated, is all of a sudden, you know, getting forgotten about. It is a weird year, and so I think a lot of people can't conceptualize the fact that you have a 9-0 Army team who has a legitimate shot of getting into the playoffs. What could that look like? Could Army get in over Alabama or over Georgia? And I think that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. And just the reality of it is I think this is a good football team. You know, we've said it throughout the year, you know, Army is a good football team. Let's see how they do against FAU. Oh, we smoked FAU. Let's see how they do against, and kind of here we are once again, 9-0. We beat Air Force with our backup quarterback who hadn't started before. So
yeah,
I think Army's a good football team. I think we're going to see how good on Saturday.
Yeah. The thing that makes me excited, Jordan, is that we have not seen anyone push this Army team at all. You know, they looked wobbly for 10 minutes against ECU when they were up 35-7, you know, and they let ECU almost climb back into that game. But that isn't how it finished.
No.
And oh, by the way, ECU is probably going to finish with 7 or 8 wins.
Yeah.
You know, that Air Force game, I don't know if you've noticed, but Air Force is probably going to finish with 5 wins this season. Yeah, like they turned it around.
Better. They're doing a little better.
They turned it around in that bye week before they, before the Army game, and Army still beat the brakes off them. So yeah. I'm curious to see just how good this Army team can be, because we don't know. They haven't been in the ring with anybody.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But, you know, it's just more convenient to say, well, if Army loses, then we can take 3-loss Alabama. Dude, nobody wants to see 3-loss Alabama go anywhere except home.
Yeah, been done with it.
Well, Dan, to be fair, living in Alabama, I know a lot of people who would like to see three loss Alabama. But
I want to see their freaking tears. I'm so tired of that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, Dan. Might be a three loss Tennessee team too, right, Daniel?
I don't think they deserve to go to the playoff.
No.
They could have beat Arkansas. They could have beat Georgia.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
No, I mean, Jordan, I mean, I think the whole point why we went to 12 playoffs, if you look back at the history of the entire college football on the national champion winners, there used to be random teams that won it. Now, I think that's what many people wanted, that any team could make one run, just like the NBA, like the NCAA tournament, and win just one time.
Yeah, I think people are tired of Alabama and Clemson, and then, okay, you throw in a Big Ten team here and there. Like, people are tired of that. You're exactly right. They want to see the underdog get a shot and have that run, whether it's James Madison or Liberty or Army or any of these teams that have kind of, you know, started to do it. And unfortunately, that just doesn't bring it, you know, it doesn't bring the viewership. I think the networks would probably say, and there's not the, you know, the base and the whatever else, but, you know, college football in its purest form is two teams going out and smacking the crap out of each other, and one of them's going to be left standing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the over-commercialization of football has kind of diluted that, I would argue. So it'll be interesting to see. When we first got ranked 24 or 25 in the playoff, I was not happy. The fact that we're now 19 makes me a little happier. So I think it'll be interesting to see if we beat Notre Dame, where we'll end up ranked. Yeah. Kind of.
I mean, I still feel like the goal is to beat Navy, win the CIC, win the American Conference, and worry about all the rest of that crap in that order. So
100%. Beating Navy is definitely the priority. Yeah. But let's also, like, be honest with each other. When was the last time Army was this good? 1996. Yep. I was 1 year old. Yep. So I would like to enjoy this if it's not going to be, you know, if I have to wait another 30 years for it to happen.
Jordan, so, you were 1 year old. I'd been up with you for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Dan.
Dan, on top of all of that, I would love for Coach Monken to get a win over a ranked P4 team. It is overdue for him.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've come close.
We've come very close. It's about time. All right. Hey, let's go on to fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
And in typical Jordan fashion, I do not have one yet. So counting on the Firstie Club to maybe please provide me one. Dan, why don't we go ahead and start with you though?
Sure, because I wrote one down. Bryson Daly, I actually worried about this for a while, but I finally just said screw it. Bryson Daly rushes for 150 yards. Go ahead, Jordan. You look like you got an opinion.
Yeah. Well, I see Terry nodding his head.
Oh, go ahead, Terry. Sorry.
Yeah. So I love Bryson Daly. I would love us to expand the offense. I think he could do it. I think to beat Notre Dame, we need to max out the entire offense, the slot backs, the fullbacks.
Oh, so okay.
As much as I say he could, I'm going to say fiction only because I think to win, we should not. Not okay. Hating to use the word should, but that's the only reason why I'm saying fiction.
Okay.
I'm going to say fiction as well. I think because Daly does not have the speed to break it long down the field and get a 60, 70 yard run against Notre Dame. I think he's going to carry the ball 20, 30 plus times. Yeah. I think Notre Dame has watched the film. They know that he's a dark horse for the highest. Like, you know, they're aware of who he is. I think they're going to be keying on him. So I think he's going to get a lot of carries. I think most of them are going to be 3 yards a carry. I think he'll have a couple, 6, 7, 8, 9 yards, but I think the majority of his are going to be 3 yards a carry, and I just don't think that he's going to have the breakaway. And like Terry said, I think there's going to be a lot of involving the slot backs and moving things around as much as possible.
I think we got to pitch and counter a lot this week and give to the fullback a lot more often.
Yeah. So that's interesting, but you guys are both wrong. 30 times 5 is 150, which is how Army wins this game.
Yeah.
Bryson Daly is going to carry this. At the end of the day, this game is about violence. and, you know, bringing in Jake Rendina as your 270-pound fullback to just knock the snot out of people. Yeah. That's how Army wins this game. That's my personal opinion.
You very well could be right, Dan.
And I hope you're right, Dan. Yeah. I really do. Yeah. But
I just if Army wants to win this game, I just think that they have to use the assets that they have that can compete with Notre Dame's assets. And it, to me, that's, you know, Kanye Udo, Bryson Daly, and Jake Rendina, and just hard-headed man ball, for lack of a better term.
On that, Dan, do you think the speed of Short and Reynolds up the slot and T-Rob is going to be there this week?
I think those guys are fast, but I don't think they're faster than Notre Dame secondary.
Okay, yeah. I'm saying we'd only spring them if our blocking executes.
Yeah, they're not going to outrun anybody.
No.
Yeah. Terry, what's your fact or fiction?
All right. So if everyone doesn't know, I'm the parent of a plebe tight end. I'm not saying it's going to be him at all, but I'm saying we need to mix this thing up. I'm saying my fact, we get a first down pass to a tight end completed this week.
I'll buy that.
It's got to be something different. It might be the, you know, that many teams use this. So that's it. A first down pass completed to a tight end.
I take it you're saying fact to that one, Terry?
Yes, that's the fact. Yeah.
I'm going to say fiction. Sorry, Terry. They're never going to throw that tight end. They're going to the first throw to a tight end all year is going to come in the Army Navy game.
It could be true.
All right, my fact or fiction. My fact or fiction, courtesy of James from the Firsty Club. Thank you, sir. Army wins the turnover bat. Dana.
I think that's a fact.
Yeah. One fact.
Bryson Daly looked like a guy who hadn't practiced in 2 weeks in the North Texas game. And I think people, if you don't watch Army and you don't know what you're looking at, you think, oh, this is who this guy is. No, it's that they committed. He threw his only interception. The play was absolutely there. He threw it short because he hadn't practiced in, 2 weeks.
Udo had a fourth quarter fumble too.
Yeah. I mean, that was a tough play. I mean, I'm not saying that it's excused, but it's the kind of thing that can happen in football.
Yeah.
You know, ball gets ripped as you're falling.
Yeah. But no. Yeah, we have agreement on that one, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. Good.
As for football is growing. Go ahead, Terry.
No, that's it.
Okay. Hey, as for football is growing, especially with our written content. Hats off to Dan and Omar. Omar's recent piece on Army Air Force history surprised us and became one of our most successful articles ever. Then Dan's quick thoughts popped up organically in a bunch of people's Facebook feeds, news feeds. So something we're doing is working. We've also done a little bit of analysis, and folks who like Astro Football really like us for football. And if that's you and you'd like to help us grow, we got a couple ways that you can. Probably the easiest is forward our weekly mailer to your friends and family who like Army football. If you're online, you like Army, you've probably seen our stuff. Challenge is reaching the vast majority of folks who aren't on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Blue, whatever the hell it might be. A lot of those folks might like Ask for Football if they knew we existed. But along those same lines, sign up for our mailing list. And of course, if you like Ask for Football and you want more, consider joining us on Patreon. We give our patrons extra written articles, early access to shows, and even our Firsty Club for top level patrons. If you're listening to this, thank you very much for your support. We couldn't do it without you. Favorite thing, kind of maybe the other elephant in the room, Army Navy uniforms have dropped this week. Army's came out Monday, Navy's came out today. Army is honoring the 101st Airborne who fought at Bastogne. Navy is copying one of Army's uniforms from earlier in the season. Thought on either both of them, Terry.
So my wife Pam and I talked about the Navy uniform walking up today, and once again, the Army uniforms are so incredible. There's so many little details that our historians and Army and Nike and the design team just get right. I don't know if Under Armour just has a not good at it, and I think it's the Jolly Rogers. I don't know who that is, but again, you know, they've honored buildings, they've honored, and they just don't seem to get it right. I mean, even with their history, it just doesn't look like a cool uniform. So I think we crush the uniform battle again.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there, Terry. The uniform, like, Navy always does those airbrushed helmets. Those helmets sitting on somebody's desk in the Pentagon look really cool. The helmets with the jersey, it doesn't go together, no. At least in my opinion. Dano?
I got to give them credit for at least honoring a fighting unit from their history. I also do not know anything about the Jolly Rogers or the Skull and Bones. Even after having seen the uniforms and watching the video, I still don't know who they are, except that they're a fighter squadron. But it's a real unit that fought in World War II. So I'll take it. I mean, Navy will do anything. I mean, literally anything other than honoring the people on the ships.
Yeah.
You know, the regular service warfare people, but fighter pilots are people too, most of the time. And and so we'll take it. The 101st are, I don't personally have a connection there. I mean, the 1st Armored Division is probably my favorite uni over, just because, I felt like I saw myself reflected there, and the 3rd ID the same too. So, but the uniform is cool, and with the snow on there, I am deathly afraid that there's going to be a blizzard now.
Wouldn't that be something? Well, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Listeners, thank you for hanging with us for the last 45-ish minutes. Go Army, beat Notre Dame.
And beat them.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate, for supporting us and the Long Gray Line. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, reach out to Jocelyn. She's got your back. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the show with your friends. And as always, beat Navy.